Welcome, everybody, your weekly Trueplex the Cage with Charles. Full disclaimer, wrestling is not fake. It is scripted. It's a stage fight. It's the holy, you know, holiest of people, men and women being the holy hell of each other, chasing championships, establishing legacy, getting a little bit of soap opera action in there, having some real beef enough that's going to be served. If you don't have a local Burger King, watch your local AEW in the Twitter, and you'll get the beef that you want. People being the holy hell, we mentioned it because it's also going a little extreme on this Cage edition because, Francisco, it is Extreme Rules this weekend. Saturday. First off, I love Saturday pay-per-views now because I don't feel dead going to work the next day. It was something that started a little bit in the shift of Vince's last, you know, gasp of reign coming into it, and now it's transitioned over to Triple H, so that makes me very happy. But that's for the WWE side. Let's go with AEW first. So AEW Dynamite, watch on TBS on Wednesdays. We're cooling down a little bit. This is like the cooler week. Last week, you know, we kind of came up with all that high-end energy about what was going on, informing on it. They're going to have the two-year anniversary of Brody Lee's death show coming. I don't know if that's this week or the next week. I gotta talk about it because I have like concerns about why they do that as well. One second, let me just do that. So there's gonna be some. I think it was their tribute show. Hold that thought, Francisco. This is what happens when I don't think about something and I realize it.
Man, I think I can pull it up on Twitter to see if something pops out. Here we go. There's this.
It's his 3-year anniversary show. I don't know why.
Two-year anniversary. There we go.
Yeah, they have it as a 3-year anniversary. So I know why they mentioned
Tony Khan,
Brody.
So there we go. Okay.
Yeah, I know why they mentioned Brody Lee. I'm sorry. It's because they're gonna have Wardlow, who's your current TNT champion, fighting against Brian Cage, and someone like me mentioned of it. And also gonna have Andrade versus Dark Order's 10. Remember that was Brody Lee's stable. And if Brody Lee loses, I'm sorry, if Preston loses, he has to take off the mask and go back to being Preston Vance instead of 10. And, you know, the build-up to that story is like, you know, Brody gave me this mask, everything of that nature means something to me. And then if Andrade loses, he leaves AEW. So in the rumor mill, Andrade's unhappy. He has an option-out contract. His wife is Charlotte Flair over in WWE. So I want to talk about this match a little bit. Now that I got my bearings straight, I know what I'm talking about and everything like that. I don't know if this match, the sideline stories has been Andrade has been wanting to get 10 to come with him, part of the Andrade faction with him and Rush. I think it's called Los Ingobernables Fashion. But they kicked out one of the other guys, so it doesn't make sense. And now they're going to bring in like a guy who's not Lucha Libre. Don't ask me, I don't like the storylines here. But is it fair to say that this loses momentum because 10 hasn't been on a Dynamite in a long time? So it kind of, unless you watch the behind-the-scenes stuff or AEW Dark or Being the Elite, which hasn't broadcasted since the Elite were, you know, suspended because, you know, the whole chicanery that happened between them and CM Punk and Ace Steel, it kind of loses luster a little bit because why are people supposed to care? And is it that we care that 10 was one of the people hand-chosen by Brody Lee, so that's why we put those stipulations of you lose the mask or Andrade leaves? So if Andrade is actually leaving and you do this as his actual last match and he just tells Tony Khan, I'm not going, I'm leaving, pulls the way with Cody Rhodes, couldn't you have like, are you really going to put 10 over with this win? And you haven't built the rub for Andrade well enough, in my opinion. The guy's talented. He had a 5-star match with Johnny Gargano, one of the NXT takeovers. Love him. I think he's talented. I understand why he left AEW. I'm sorry, why he left WWE going into AEW and having the opportunities to do everything, but they've been kind of restrictive against certain things. He hasn't been on television that much. And I don't mind 10, but he's still kind of like a raw product, unfinished product. And now we're just going to give you on the 3-year anniversary, this Dark Order stable that was kind of there when we first started 3 years ago, both different members, and now we have the significance of the mask. It feels kind of like hodgepodge, trying to pull your heartstrings to give you invested television, but it kind of feels like microwave food. It's already pre-made. You just have to cook it right. You know, it's not from scratch. So I'm not really crazy about that match. But Andrade's got some beef with Sammy Guevara, or Guevara. Sammy's got beef with a lot of people. He also has beef with Eddie Kingston, and Eddie Kingston beat the shit out of him backstage like a couple weeks ago, and he got suspended for it, where Sammy called Eddie fat, And then he fought him. That's what the dirt sheets say, but he was suspended. And he said, oh, we handled like, man, we moved on. But on the Twitter feed, they Andrade and Sammy have been going back and forth. And I don't know if it's a shoot work, Francisco. And for people who need to know the wrestling terminology, a work is part of the plan. A shoot is like real stuff. And sometimes you get that hybrid shoot work where social media is a perfect platform for it because you can actually put some feel into it and throw it out there. Think of it like Seth Rollins and Matt Riddle when Seth just tells Riddle that your wife ain't gonna let you see the kids anymore, all that stuff. There's some real life elements that come into it. But me and my buddy Tony were talking about like Sammy Guevara has a punchable face. So there's part of me, and if you want to find a picture of him right now, he's the one that does a lot of the botches. I sent you the video link to him a couple weeks back and also lately, where you look at Sammy and you see that face, and he has talent. Wrestling wise, he still needs to learn like storytelling and selling and things like that. The internet community is not
I
like
remember
him.
seeing the Crips and the Blood
Yeah,
AEW. That's gonna be
I
going
was looking at that
Sammy.
earlier. But I look at Sammy, and when you talk about Go Home Heat, so this is a revision of Remember When Charles Taught Wrestling. Go Home Heat is like fans don't even want you on their TV whatsoever. They don't want you in the
AEW,
stands.
every time
Yeah.
Sammy opens his mouth.
He says stuff, but also, Sammy's also not liked for the internet community for a
Here's his
different
official
reason.
Twitter, the King of New York, as he calls himself.
Yeah, so let me tell you why people actually don't like Sammy Guevara and all that stuff. So he was in an interview many, many years ago, and he was asked about Sasha Banks when he went to WWE Performance Center. And Sasha Banks is Mercedes Renato. She's the one that had walked out everything. She's very popular on The Mandalorian. We support Sasha. Sasha follows on Twitter. Mercedes follows on Twitter. Charles the Truth, Dan Fiolis, FJO JR Jr., and then Sports Scoops. But Sammy had said in the interview, and whether or not it's maturity or guy culture, you'd be up to debate. But he, and it's not verbatim, but it's close to verbatim. Oh my God, she's so hot. I just want to rape her. That's what he said. So we're going to feel a kind of way about that. I feel a kind of way about that. You know, I don't know what kind of circle or culture of men or women that you hang around with that it's acceptable as a statement. And what Tony Khan had done was send him to like sensitivity training and stuff like that. But this was years before he was signed by AEW. But for lack of a better word, that's a prick statement to make. You would agree with me, right? So if Andrade just wants to throw hands on this guy, I'm perfectly fine with it. And if you look at the comparisons between Andrade and Sammy's kind of shredded in that athletic, acrobatic state.
Right.
Andrade looks like he'll beat the shit out of you. And Sammy has
El
that go home
Idolo.
heat. El Idolo, man. He used to be Andrade Cien Almas. But
Ooh.
he's stacked, man. He beef you, luchador.
Yeah.
He'll mess you up.
Man. Hermoso.
And yeah, right? Handsome. Muy guapo. Muy
No,
guapo, please.
hermoso, I said.
Yeah, I know, but I will say it's about it. You know, go from there. Like, you know, we support our peoples here. You know,
Yeah.
we because I'll make my list of handsome wrestlers too. Try to steal that.
Oh, you should do that.
Oh man, like that list. You know, that's I'll
Would it be
you know.
like active or would it be like all time?
That's up to you to decide. We were going with active coaches, so you know we can make it
I'm
from
gonna have to
there.
find a list. Me, I'll
Yeah,
look it
but
up. Maybe somebody's already, but maybe somebody hasn't.
yeah.
But the list that I'm compiling, I sure as hell know somebody hasn't done it.
Well, you know, we go from there, but yeah, you but Andrade, you know, he's got some talent. He's put on some good bangers. Sammy couldn't handle those hands, man. Like that man will mess him up, you
There it
know.
is.
Going
Oh,
from there,
he cleans
his
up
suit
nice.
game is
Man, look
good,
at that.
man.
He cleans
His
up real
suit game's
nice.
good. He
Damn.
fresh, bro. He fresh. You know, he fresh. And then of course him having into Ric Flair, because that's Ric Flair's son-in-law. Listen, you know, we cool, Andrade. We cool like that. I support you in this. And we talk about go home heat. I would not have a beer. This is what Tony and I were talking about earlier. I would not have a beer with Sammy Guevara or Guevara, but I down some Patron with Andrade, man. Like, it'd be cool real quick. So AEW is kind of a mess because the problem with shoot works is that if the match doesn't pay off and it's not like eventually they don't even schedule the wrestle, too. That's the crazy part. Andrade is going against Vance, and if he loses, then that's it. He's out, right? So we don't know. I don't think Andrade is gonna, you know, obviously lose. I think he's gonna remain in the company. It's just something to build a storyline. Maybe make 10 come out, not to have the mask anymore. Maybe just sort of dissolve the Dark Order, which is probably the thing you have to do now. It's gotten a little stale, in my opinion, unfortunately. But that's sometimes wrestling and factions anyway. All teams get stale. All factions get stale. The New Day, which we love, gets stale. You know, you have to kind of put a creative jolt. So go ahead, watch AEW, because I got to shift it to other obligations, which is WWE New Japan. It's kind of a mess right now. I'm trying to catch up from New Japan, and I'm not really a big fan. TNA or Impact has kind of like stuttered a little bit for me, to a degree, just because it happens sometimes when you're a smaller company. And then WWE. So wrestling's been watchable. You asked me last week what I found to be the upside to it. I told you.
Yeah, basically, like, how do you see the direction the product going since?
Yeah,
right.
And it's not perfect. There's nothing that's perfect wrestling wise, but wrestling feels good again. And there's two things I'm gonna comment on before I go into Extreme Rules predictions and matches and stuff like that. One, I am totally obsessed by this Bray Wyatt speculation about the White Rabbit. I've sent you guys some of it partially, and you know, it's just because
the Photoshop jobs of people.
Part of it too is because the song from Jefferson Airplane, White Rabbit's fantastic. And if that's your marketing ploy to get that song in my head, it's good. What they've been doing is just playing that song during live events or during commercials as well. And they've been doing QR codes and they've been doing pictures. And they were tricking us a little bit. Last week, they're like, oh, at 9:23 on September 23rd, on 9:23, you know, there'll be something so people think he's coming back in. And Drew McIntyre showed up at Karrion Kross. And they're like, oh, God, it's not him. And then it's not Edge. And I think it's Joe Gacy. And I put it in the chat. If it's not Bray Wyatt, I'm just done. Like, I have not been this excited in a bit since The Fiend, right? When it comes to, like, big reveals and stuff like that, because I want to see what a Bray Wyatt-led character could be when Vince McMahon isn't pissing on it, trying to sell merchandise and also, like, just cutting it at the knees before it even began, because that's what happened with The Fiend.
People are looking for answers everywhere.
Oh, man, we're obsessed with it. We can't stop. It's like the Matthew McConaughey smoking the cigarette, you know, on the phone thing. I want to see
TikTok, people on everywhere just trying to find clues.
Because it's the right kind of marketing, man.
Going on.
And the rumor is that it'll be revealed on Extreme Rules, either in person or elsewhere. And it's just with Bray, he's a decent wrestler, great storyteller. And the Fiend character start off well when he just murders Finn Balor at SummerSlam and immediately dies the next month because he loses a match in a Hell in a Cell because Seth was going to use a sledgehammer in his head, but Hell in a Cell is basically anything goes. So how can that even happen? And it makes this phenomenological character look weak. And then you give it back to him on Halloween 3 years ago where he beats Seth and starts the run of him as a Universal Champion. And then, of course, he lost to Goldberg. You don't survive if you lose to Goldberg and you lose the title there. It just doesn't happen, man. It takes a lot of time to refurbish you. And that's the perfect word to say refurbish, because it's still the same guy, but now he has to makeshift certain things. And Bray also was one of those unceremoniously fired by Vince in the budget cuts. And if H brought him back, I'd be very happy, because I've been happy with most of the returns. Look, I'm happy for everybody who's employed. That's great. You know, the problem is that with wrestling, especially since it's still trying to figure itself out after the COVID crash, basically kind of caused everything to stop with the pandemic. Indie shows may not be able to give you a lot. There might be visa issues. There's still travel issues. People get sick. They have to get things canceled. So if you're not on WWE or AEW, you want gainful and consistent employment as well. So if he's back, whether it's Bray Wyatt or rumor mill is Wyndham Rotunda, which is his legitimate name, I just think it's cool. I'm obsessed with it. And the other thing I'm obsessed with before I go into Extreme Rules, buddy, I can't get enough of Sami Zayn. I can't get enough of the Bloodline. We the ones, they're more entertaining without even having Roman there. And Roman's there every now and then. Like, I sent you guys a clip about them giving Sami his honorary Uso shirt. And just the boiling point between him and Jey Uso. I want to see how this plays out, because I love Sami so much. And if this is going to lead to like a legitimate babyface turn for him where he gets booted out from the Bloodline, but I want to know how. I want to know. And I have my theories. And
the downfall is coming, but.
But this is why wrestling's engaging. Mm. You're supposed to be as a soap opera, because I'm making predictions. I'm playing the game with my buddies of, if I booked it, this is how I would do it. And that's engagement. That's what you want from the audience. You know, it feels like you're on the side. It's like, oh, let's see if we have that same mind, because you want to see the
payoff. He looks so happy, my God.
Oh, my God, he's fine, because he's just making some jokes. And he breaks everybody's characters. Like, Solo is supposed to be the enforcer of the Blunder. He's trying not to laugh. Jimmy's supposed to be laughing at that, but Solo's trying not to laugh, and he just can't do it. He can't hold it, so he starts cracking. He literally breaks character. And then Jay comes in shouting, because Jay, the brother who's about to come in now, legitimately just doesn't trust Sammy. He doesn't like him. He says he's looking out for his family. He thinks Sammy's doing this big master plan. And now you add in an additional layer. What if this is the long con? Sammy used to call himself the master strategist. And then him and Roman breaks too. I can't. It's just so good. It's a shadow. And also tells you something I always talk to you about. Book me a good storyline without titles involved. It's hard. This is
Yeah.
booking the good
Yeah,
story
because
without the
you can
title.
have like, yeah, because the titles are just like, okay, those are stakes, but they're like default stakes, right?
Yeah. But it's the easiest storyline to talk about.
Right.
You have something. I want something. I'm going to
Yeah.
challenge you for something. And then you
This
can
is
create the
my
character.
goal. Yeah.
Yeah. And the heel, you basically go over the face. You go, it's like, I'm not going to challenge you. You have to earn it. Or like, I ain't scared, everybody. Let's do this.
Yeah.
Or, oh, on my turn to do it. It is very basic bullet points. It's the base. It's your Star Wars. It's your Harry Potter. It's Lord of the Rings. Protagonist is given something.
Mainstream stuff, right?
Protagonist had life before other introduction came in. Circumstances have changed. Protagonist now goes on the journey. Protagonist finds out discovery. Protagonist must go see the ending. Ending happens. It is kind of like that with Tala. So now you have to give me something that's a little bit more. And this is just that good-ish. Right there. Just like Checkers double chicken dunked in Frank's hot sauce. Right there. I have been engaged on that in what, for 2 months straight. Poor you and Andrew have had to deal with the
Indeed.
obnoxiousness. And it won't stop. It won't stop because can you imagine the reaction when the breakup occurs? You know the Stephen
They're
A.
gonna
Smith,
break that man's
today,
heart.
today
They're
was the
gonna break
worst
that man's
day.
heart.
It's gonna break everybody's hearts. And that's what kind of wrestling is supposed to be. It's supposed to make you feel. I want to feel alive. To quote, Cowboy Bebop, I'm not going to the die. I'm going there to see if I'm really alive. You're feeling
I
something. You're feeling
was gonna
something.
rewatch that.
It's
I'm
such a
gonna
good.
rewatch that.
It's just it's such a
It's on
good anime.
Netflix, I
It's
know.
such a good anime. The
You
live
saw
action is whatever.
you watched the live action, but you didn't seem
It's
too enthused.
not needed. I appreciate it for what it is as a remix to it, but it's an entertaining idea. But the problem with Netflix is anything that gets converted from, if it's not their own original licensing rights, they're going to cancel it. So it's fine. But HBO is stealing their own thing anyway with Warner Bros. Discovery because they canceled like Shenmue
Oh,
Two season
they're
two.
getting rid of a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, fine. Cut costs because everybody needs more of like your crappy shows about like,
Canceled the Batman animated series reboot or
Yeah,
whatever.
and that's getting shopped around. And I'm like, listen, out of all things to cancel, you can cancel Batman. Everybody has a hard on for him as a character. They would watch it. You kept Harley Quinn, but not the Batman show. I don't. It doesn't compute, right?
And
Like if
Batgirl.
you're talking about, I'm surprised, and the Batgirl too. I'm surprised Blue Beetle is still in effect. So like, and a very obscure character.
Exactly. Like Blue Beetle is not like, yeah, if you watched what was the last thing he was on? What was the
It was Young Justice.
Yeah, he was on Young Justice, but he was in
It was
something
also an
else. Was
Injustice 2, the video game. So
Yeah,
if you
no,
play
he
the
yeah, no, he
game,
was in Injustice too, but he was in something else. Blue Beetle. Oh, Batman the Brave and the Bold. That's what he was
yeah.
in.
And Brave and the Bold was such a like a not for me kind of show.
I love Brave and the Bold. I watched every episode.
I tried it once. Also sometimes it's because of the times. Some shows you have to re I will say this, some superhero shows you need to revisit. Because I remember when I thought the Green Lantern show was actually good, and then I'm like, this is kind of bad. That was it.
A
That was my
CW show. I
mentality.
mean, come on.
No, I'm talking about the animated show.
Oh, no, I was mixing up with the Green Arrow.
Yeah, no, Green Arrow.
The
Two things about the Green
Arrowverse.
Arrow, then we're gonna go to wrestling. One, you can't make shows that have such low limited content each season 20 plus episodes. It really drags it. And then two, I might be like crapped on by everybody, but any superhero who has a domino mask is nothing that I can take seriously because I'll figure out your identity in a heartbeat. And the bad lighting that you have, you gotta give them a full mask. Like, you can't do everybody in the dark. You gotta give them some stuff. Don't make me do things. Back to wrestling, Extreme Rules this Saturday, starting at like 7, matches start at 8. I'm excited for this card. Clash of the Castle was a fantastic pay-per-view by Triple H. Now we give me another month of pure Triple H chicanery. And here's the thing about Extreme Rules. Extreme Rules, the last couple of years was there was nothing extreme about it. There was one Extreme Rules match last year. Francisco, it was Roman Reigns versus The Fiend, not The Fiend, the Demon, Finn Balor, when Finn Balor had his alternate ego as the Demon, in Extreme Rules match, and that's the match where it ended because the top turnbuckle broke, and everybody was like, "Was that God who interfered and helped Roman?" It was the match was fine, but the ending was kind of like silly, and I was just like, "Ah, that was kind of tough to go from there." But every match in this damn card is extreme, and we're gonna talk about predictions and what those matches mean. So you have, and we'll start from the top, Brawling Brutes versus Imperium. So my boy Gunther, who used to be Walter with his boys, Louis Kaiser and Giovanni Vinci against the Brawling Brutes, which is Sheamus and Pete Dunne, but now he's for now he's Butch, and then Ridge Holland. That Sheamus and that I almost said Walter. His name's Gunther now. I gotta accept it. Gunther and Sheamus, gave me a 5-star match. It was my match of the year for WWE from Classic Castle. Yeah, they're back at it. They're actually fighting this Friday on the season premiere, quotation mark, season premiere of SmackDown. I don't know how you can have a season premiere when you're live every week, but whatever. Which doesn't mean the last couple weeks don't count, so we're just miraculously walking to a pay-per-view. Make up your mind how you want to construct those things. But that IC belt's going to be defended. But then you have this good old-fashioned Donnybrook. What the hell is that? Well, if you watch Larry Kenny, Donnybrook's a fight. I'm guessing it's a no-DQ stip match between men slapping men. It's not full meat slapping meat, but it's up there. Like, Rich Holland's kind of a meaty boy. Giovanni Vinci's fit. You know, Butch is technical wrestler. I'm going to enjoy that. That's going to be so good. Delicious. Edge versus Finn Balor and I Quit. Oh, let me do predictions. Imperium wins. They got to keep that momentum. Edge versus Balor in an I Quit match. Edge was a leader of Judgment Day. Finn Balor joined up, betrayed, got everybody to betray him, hurt Edge, crashed his, basically did a concerto, busted his knee up. Edge came back like twice within the span of 2 months. So that's like no real big surprise. But this is the match that Finn Balor needs to stop getting my insults of saying that he's a jobber. And my paralegal, he's like, hey, I like him. I'm like, yeah, but he's a jobber. So the face of the I Quit match, you say I quit, you lose. Edge gave this promo about him saying that I'll never say I quit. You're a big fighter. You have to kill me, which means he's going to lose. You have his wife, Beth Copeland, come in, have the Judgment Day, which consists of Rhea Ripley and Damian Priest and Finn Balor, now Dominic Mysterio in there, do something to her. That's what make Edge says I quit. I can live with that. That's good storytelling. And it kind of segues a little bit to Finn Balor and AJ Styles. Is that going to be match tonight? Maybe, maybe not. Edge's style, he's kind of fallen a little bit for me. Last year, he was fantastic. I think it's because of the quality of people he was put up against. The beginning of this year hasn't been great because him and Miz Maurice and Beth against them. And then him and AJ just didn't click the way I wanted to. And that was the match I was so excited for. And then you had him teaming up with Ray against Judgment Day. And I feel like I think I'm just done with the feud. And maybe that'll reinvigorate me a little bit for Edge, because Edge is going to give his swan song allegedly in Toronto next year at SummerSlam. So we'll see what happens. Drew McIntyre versus Karrion Kross, a strap match. What is a strap match? Well, if you guys were with me, and I think you were, when The Fiend versus Daniel Bryan was a strap match at Royal Rumble 2019, I believe, or 2020. I think it was 2020, if I'm not mistaken. So like a leather strap is attached to each guy's wrist, and they beat the holy hell out of each other until pinfall or submission. That could be a very good match. You have two beefy, muscular men, Francisco, and Drew McIntyre, who is handsome for all intents and purposes. We're going to start the list as a little bit of a appetite palate, you know, for people coming into it, even though he wasn't my favorite guy because I don't like him as a face. But in a strap match against Karrion Kross, this is Karrion Kross' second match back since being fired and rehired. It's on a pay-per-view. Ironically, this is his first main roster pay-per-view, because that goes to show what Vince McMahon does to people when he doesn't like them. He doesn't even give them a scent of success, a scent of it. Kross has to win, right? You know, you got brought back, pushed into the main event role, dominant as you are, change your look completely. Drew can't really eat the loss, but Karrion can't take the loss either. I think it'll be a good match. I say Karrion Kross wins it. I'm excited for it. Matt Riddle versus Seth Rollins in a fight pit match. Think of it as like a hybrid MMA. There's a special guest referee, Daniel Cormier, or Cormier, is that how you say his name? UFC heavyweight. Supposed to be beefing with Brock in real life on the UFC days and never came to fruition. This is the basically the bleed out. They had the match that happened at Clash of the Castle. Very good match. Seth won that. Now this should be the conclusion, the feud ender going from there. I'm excited for it. I think this is actually what's going to main event it, because I don't think you bring in the fight pit, you know, because of a different kind of construction that they have. You had two fight pit matches in NXT. Riddle versus Timothy Thatcher, and then I think Tommaso Ciampa versus Timothy Thatcher was in there, and both matches were entertaining. It's kind of like a shoot style. You only win if you knock out your opponent or you submit him. So, you know, it's going to change a little bit of the versatility. It reminds me of the Lion's Den match between Owen Hart and Ken Shamrock all those years ago, where Dan Severin was. Damn, we went to the Charles verse there for a second. Was it SummerSlam, Francisco? Maybe. Maybe. If I'm that good, maybe. going from there. It was before Owen died. But I don't want to go down that rabbit hole for a second. I'll just have to verify it later. I think you end it because I think it says something if you have a blood feud being the end of a main event, because it says something very important that you don't always need titles. You don't have the main title being defended. Roman's not defending the title. He's going to be defending at Crown Jewel. That end, you're having a special novelty of Daniel Cormier there. So why wouldn't you main event it? Unless Brock's not going to show up. The rumor knows Brock's going to show up and they're going to start some beef into it. Because Cormier is like 43. He can get into wrestling shape and go from there. I'm excited for the match. I think it'll be good. Anything kind of goes there, except it's just straight up trying to beat the hell out of each other. Liv Morgan, Ronda Rousey, Extreme Rules match for the SmackDown Women's Championship. Extreme Rules, no DQ, anything goes. I think Liv wins. I think Charlotte Flair comes back. And I think Charlotte screws up Ronda. Because when we last saw Charlotte was back in April in her I Quit match against Ronda Rousey. Ronda made her say I quit, and then Ronda won the SmackDown title there. You know, get your revenge going from there, because I don't know if I like Ronda. I don't hate Ronda per se. I think Ronda's just kind of bland for me right now. I don't think she needs a title, and I think you built a decent story with Liv on the idea that she won it first on a cash-in fluke because Ronda was already injured in a prior match, and then Liv tapped out in the Clash of the Castle match, but the ref didn't see it. She got the three count. You could build something in there. I just sometimes a good thing about no DQ matches, it can kind of protect each wrestler from their inexperience on giving you technical matches and pacing, everything like that, because you're just trying to beat the shit out of each other, right? So I think the match will probably be Liv's best pay-per-view quality match in a while, and then Ronda's ability to show if she can wrestle people that are not already established as great wrestlers. You got to think, she had Becky Lynch working with her. She had Charlotte Flair working with her. She had Sasha Banks, a.k.a. Mercedes Renato, working with her. And that was some good quality stuff. Those are three of the four horsewomen going in there. They are like the queens of the crop, the creams of the crop, basically, in current women's wrestling in WWE. Her matches with Alexa Bliss, her matches with other women as she was defending title, I don't even remember, right? Sometimes that's the problem with wrestling, is that it is a dance, even though some people want to fight me on that, Billy Graham, because sometimes you need somebody to lead it. And if you have a good lead in your dancing, the tango's going to be fine. If you don't have a good lead into it, we're going to be stepping on some toes, right? So I would say on those conditions, I can see Liv winning, but if there is no interference by Charlotte Flair, then Ronda gets the title, and where do we go from here? Hunter, I don't know. And then the other match that could be the main event, Bianca Belair versus Bayley in a ladder match. Meh, I'm not really excited for it. I think Bianca has been doing excellent work lately. I thought her match with Becky Lynch at WrestleMania was the second best match of the year prior to Sheamus and Gunther. Before that, it was the best match of the year. I don't know if Bayley can kind of get me invested in that match. Bayley came back with Damage Control at SummerSlam. Io and Dakota won the tag belts. Now she's going to look to get the trifecta. I'm also okay with Bayley winning the belt just because I feel that Bianca's reign has been very much like her first reign, uneventful. And ironically, her first reign as champion was after she beat Sasha, was feuding with Bayley for two matches, and then Bayley tore her ACL. And ironically, her matches after she won the title at WrestleMania, this current period, was she won against Becky a couple more times, like Carmella and then Becky, and now she's back to Bayley. So I don't know if it's like a full story is being told here completely, giving Bayley her flowers, or we can really push Bianca onto the stratosphere. I think both of them are very talented. I like how Bianca kind of comes in with this confidence and energy in the ring, and she's very strong. Bayley, her style's a little bit more slower. So there is some technical aspects of what these two performers can do. I'm not as invested in the match just because I feel Damage Control has kind of been oversaturated because, man, they've been both on Raw and SmackDown. And that's sometimes, if you're doing a brand split, you want to highlight individual wrestlers, but you give me more of the same on each one, am I going to care as much, right? So I can go either way. It is tough, but I'm going to make a scary prediction. Francisco, you ready for this? Bayley wins it, because what's coming in November? Survivor Series War Games. And we know Damage Control is probably going to be a part of that, right? So that would be Bayley, Io, and Dakota. What better way to kind of really show that they're the bad guys than having all the women who have the title belts defending but in the War Games match, you have Team Bianca in there with Becky and Asuka and somebody else. I don't know if I want Alexa Bliss in there, if she's part of the White Rabbit conspiracy. But there's ways to play this game out, man. And I think it's okay to give Bayley that title. Bianca doesn't lose anything by losing in a ladder match. It's not like she's getting pinned in 8 seconds the way she did to Becky at SummerSlam last year, because that actually hurt Bianca's credibility. You know, she goes off, has this great match against Sasha, comes in wanting Sasha to come back at SummerSlam, doesn't happen. She goes against Becky and then loses in 8 seconds. That kills your momentum. Losing at a ladder match, no, because you're not getting pinned quickly. You're not getting submitted quickly, right? Something good, Kevin. If she handcuffs you to the ropes and you can't climb up the ladder because you're stuck in handcuffs, you don't look bad losing. You agree with me. So it's logic in that way. And wrestling sometimes can be simple. And I think Bianca needs some time without the belt as well, just to see that she can do it on her own. She already did it once. She could do it again. I think Hunter wants to focus on his stables a little bit, preparing for War Games. And that's what he's going to lead to. So that's my predictions. I'm excited for it. I think it's going to be good. It's on Saturday on Peacock. Get your free trial. Pay your $5. We don't treat it well enough. $5. $5. My goodness. And that's all I got for you on the cage this week.